How can you be so polite while being so rude? The angel of the Lord comes to Gideon with the traditional greeting. Hi there, Gideon, the Lord is with you. To which Gideon responds with a rather tetchy, well, sir, if God is with us as you say, how come we're in such a mess? What with the Midianites oppressing us and all, and me hiding here to thresh my corn in secret in case the Midianites come and take my dinner money. And, by the way, we hear all this stuff about how great God was in the past. We could do with a bit of that right now in the present, sir. Pretty shocking and insubordinate stuff. And there's more to come, as we shall see. But it does seem to give us permission to wonder, as we sometimes do, why this? Why me? Why now? And to question. Permission to question. It seems that you're allowed to ask the question, where is God when you need him? And not to feel all that comfortable with the trite platitudes that are sometimes offered to help us out with that question, when all they do is set our teeth on edge. Our life might be falling apart, and our happiness moot, and our heart breaking. And someone comes along to offer us some religious cliched truism or a wee comfy notion from the Book of Religious Platitudes. And in all honesty, with the best will in the world, it doesn't really help. My mother had been a woman of robust faith all her life. But when her husband died, and then she had a stroke and became bedridden, well, the truth is, she became a little less patient with people who hurried to offer her some banal religious truism about how God had a plan for it all, and it was all going to be just fine, and she just had to have faith, more faith. And the things that really jerked her chain were religious greetings cards that delivered the pat religious banalities in barely scanning rhyming couplets that sought to contain some profound divine insight in four lines of really irritating doggerel. Gideon has a more robust take on faith, as had the psalmist David, who dared to wonder if God was sleeping, and challenged the Lord to rouse himself from his slumber and tear the heavens apart and come down and just do something, like he used to, back in the old days, the good old days. Where are you, Lord? David asked. As did Job, when his world crashed around him and he was left with nothing, scraping the boils and sores on his skin with a piece of clay pot, trying to end the itching and the agony and cope with the grief of losing his family, his business and almost his life. Where is the God who used to do such great things? And why is he not doing them now? We may find ourselves thinking that thought and feeling guilty that we should be thinking it. But the reality is that men and women of faith have felt that it was a legitimate response to the realities of life, the occasional body blows, to, at the very least, ask the question, where is God when you need him? And if we have ever found ourselves in that situation, perhaps we shouldn't beat ourselves up about it too much. We find ourselves in good company. And what is Gideon with his signs and all? Wet fleece, dry fleece, secret dreams in the night, night signs and visions. We would all find faith a lot easier if we had fleeces and dreams and visits from the angel of the Lord to sustain our trembling faith. And it never seemed to be enough for Gideon. Sudden fires from heaven, mysterious fleeces that were dry one night and soaking wet the next. And he just kept needing more reassurance, more certainty to bolster his faith. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament includes Gideon as one of the great champions of faith. And yet he seems almost to want to hold God to ransom before he will agree to move forward in faith. I don't know about you, but my life of faith has had to limp along without benefit of visits from the angel of the Lord, without confirming visions and signs that would leave me in no doubt. I have to let common sense prevail, reason operate, sound judgment shape decisions, and live with the uncertainty and the hope, and the walking in the darkness, feeling in the mist, trusting without benefit of big signs and glorious wonders. I don't think the people I know who hold on to their faith and are held on to by the Lord in the dark cloud of unknowing are less people of faith than Gideon, with his confirmations and assurances. On the contrary, I think those who reach out a hand into the dark night of the soul and hope and pray that the Lord will hold them and lead them to right choices and good decisions, I think they know what faith is, really. And when I wonder if our church is on the right track and if we are truly serving the Lord in the Spirit of Christ, I do see signs. I'm given signs that we are serving Christ and his kingdom. Thousands of Swiss francs given each year to support education and youth work in Malawi and work with those suffering from leprosy in Nepal. Initiatives taken through the charity Nourishing Minds, set up by members of this congregation to feed thousands of school children in Malawi. I see signs in the welcome given to the stranger, the second mile walked with the lonely individual, the tolerant spirit that shapes our response to people and to issues, the environmental commitment of the Eco Church project, the spirit of prayer that underpins all that we do, the vision of our pastoral responsibilities that offers ministry without conditions to whoever needs it and asks nothing in return, the generous compassion shown to so many so often. So I see that, and I know we're on the right track. I see the signs that confirm my faith and make me glad to be with this people doing these things. And I know that if we see Christ hungry, we will feed him. Thirsty, we will give him a drink. Sick, and we will visit him. These are the only signs I need to see to assure that the Lord is with us. No fleece is required. No fleece is required, dry or wet, just people doing kingdom work in the name of the King, in the Spirit of Christ. So as we read, Gideon gets his army gathered together for one final push against the oppressing Midianite forces. 10,000 good men and true. They were all men, so I'm allowed to say that. Too many, Gideon, actually. You'll end up thinking you did it all by yourself. I never really needed God's help. Cut the numbers down. No, still too many. Down to 300. 300, you cannot be serious. 300 it is. And a clever strategy. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. For these testing times ahead, what resources do we need? How much do we need to rely on God to make things work, make things happen? How can it be that in weakness there is strength? And how do we avoid being drawn into the numbers game, measured by it, defined by it? You know how the thinking goes. Large, prestigious, wealthy churches, they must be the real thing. And for the rest of us, well, not so much. Is that how it works? It's not about winning. That's something losers say. Beauty is only skin deep. That's something ugly people say. It's not about numbers. That's something people in stubbornly small churches say. But for the Lord dealing with Gideon, small is beautiful. It reminds Gideon of the need to depend on God, to trust in the unseen strength, to look beyond the obvious. Is there faith there? Is there courage? Is there trust? Is there vision? Is there love there? These things have nothing to do with size, quantity, but everything to do with quality, unseen values. There have been many times and places where the Church of Jesus was tiny. There are places in the world still where it is very much the minority, where all they can do is trust in God, sow the seed, tell out the gospel, sing his praises, do his work. And as for the numbers game, seductive though that is, debilitating though it may feel, not being successful in terms of big numbers, we can only rest on God, trust in him to bring the growth, the increase, the impact. Not for one second does this absolve us from mission, outreach, faithful proclamation. Gideon and his soldiers still had to go into the fray, take the risks, make the moves. But when success came, if it came, that would be the work of the Lord. And there would be no arrogance, self-assurance, pride. This is faith. This is trust. Doing the work and letting God make the difference.